In a post-Thanksgiving world, there's...
Bone dry.
I wonder how it'll sound. That's...
Yeah, so this is sort of our test run to see how stuff will sound.
I mean, we've used that many microphones in that room before for stuff like GDC and stuff, so it's not, you know, but... I mean, it's definitely not going to sound as...
As clean
as it does when we're in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, that studio is just not really built for more than five people, so...
Nope. Hi, guys. You're missing the main event of Raw, but guess what? It's a middling and inconsequential tag team match.
Oh, good. Great. Yeah, it's not like they have a pay-per-view coming up in, like, 2 weeks.
But they always have a pay-per-view coming up in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, fair enough.
So... People keep recommending Pro Wrestling Guerrilla to me.
I've heard of this before. I've never watched any of it.
I don't know if I really want to watch an indie.
Eh, you know, those can be good sometimes.
Yeah, this is usually not what I'm looking for out of wrestling.
Sure.
But people are saying it strikes a good balance of story stuff and action. I don't know.
And hot competition. So I did look up the New Japan stuff today, and it does look like they have a whole bunch of archive stuff on there. I don't know if they have, like, everything, but it does seem like they have a pretty decent roster of old shows.
I would love to go back and watch, like, you know, 80s stuff when, you know, Western guys are wrestling over there.
Yeah.
Just go watch all my fucking...
Go watch a bunch of Antonio Inoki matches.
Yeah. I would go watch, like, Scott Hall and The Undertaker wrestling.
I want to go see all the matches featuring fake Kevin Nash and fake Scott Hall when they went over to Japan.
Oh, did they go over there with those gimmicks?
I don't think they used those gimmicks, but I think those guys, or at least definitely the fake Scott Hall, was definitely in wrestling in Japan for a long time.
Right.
What is this guy doing?
You know,
I'm trying to decide if he wants to turn.
I can't remember Dice Morgan. That's the Undertaker. That was the Undertaker gimmick, I think.
That sounds right.
Or Punisher Dice Morgan? I forget what it was.
Dice Morgan sounds like a really good fake Gaijin wrestler name. So
yeah,
like, that
absolutely
would be like a Fire Pro character name.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Totally.
There's a match on YouTube with Scott Hall and pre-Undertaker wrestling a couple of guys in Japan that's pretty good. It's always fun to watch the English speakers in Japan, like watching them emote, since that's all they really can do.
It's a lot of facial, like serious facial acting.
Like watching them try to play to the crowd with just a big sweeping, just like, ah, what are big hand gestures.
And these days the equivalent of that is just cursing a lot.
Right.
Because those are the English words Japanese people know.
Yep.
So yeah, I think I'm actually going to sign up for that.
Yeah, that's cool. I wonder how that is, yeah. I'd be interested to hear about it.
I feel like that might be more of a pain in the ass than I would like to, like, watch it on my TV, but...
Yeah.
If I can still get access to high-quality streams on my PC, that's probably fine.
You get a Google Chromecast, and that'll usually project a video player. Well, it has to be enabled for it, so that's actually not reliable. You'd have to just hook a PC up.
Which is what I probably should just do. It's like I have a TV right next to where my computer is in my office, I just don't do that for some reason.
I would be worried that I would sign up for that thing and then not be able to figure out how to cancel it.
So that same dude who documented the sign-up process also showed how to cancel it if you need to.
Smart.
Oh, the dude who is doing that is Senior Lariato on Twitter. So if you want to go look up, he has a bunch of tweets about how to do that shit.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe I'll take a glance at it. I don't know. Thoughts on Game of Thrones coming out tomorrow? Maybe get a 6-person quick look. I think you're strongly overestimating staff interest in...
I mean, you can get a solid 3-person out of that. Like, Patrick and I and Dan could probably do that.
Yeah, I don't know. After hearing Patrick talk about it, I was...
Well, it's a Telltale game, so I can already tell you're not interested. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. We had this conversation this morning.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to play it, because I like the source material, and even though this has not been a great year for Telltale, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, but...
Yeah, I wonder what would happen with them. Like, if it was just if they expanded too fast.
I think that's exactly what it was. They just expanded too fast.
When they had 4 teams going at the same time and stuff. It just seems crazy. Stuff happening right here.
Guys, just like, fuck it.
Fuck it. Crew. Yep.
Oh, boy.
I guess I gotta start that downloading when I get home.
And then spend all night playing the crew. 24-hour crew stream.
No.
Oh, come on, man.
No.
Man, you ain't down. You ain't down with the crew.
No, instead let's start a multi-part video series for the crew, and we'll call it Do the Crew. We'll just play Into Deep's Do the Crew, and then talk about that song and not play the crew.
There's a lot to talk about with that song.
It goes places, man.
It's got layers to it. It's like an onion, like a rap onion.
Yep. Oh, God.
What?
Seth Green is hosting the Slammies, this person says in chat.
All right. So, wait, the Slammies are next week?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Sure, probably.
But it's not tonight, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
tonight was supposed to be Cyber Monday, and they're doing a lot of, like, in-app voting on stipulations or something.
Terrific. Oh, you mean, like, having people vote on three vaguely similar stipulations?
Yeah, it's like, do you want to do a chairs match, a tables match, or...
A tables and chairs match?
Tables and chairs match. A bare-knuckle brawl, a no-holds-barred match, or a backstage street fight.
An Irish strap match. A Welsh strap match.
And the Yavapai Scottish Indian strap match.
Yeah.
There's a spot, there's like a dead zone on this drive, right, for whatever reason, that just, it just cuts out. And it seems like it's been a little bit better the past few days, but hell, I don't know.
I'm always fascinated by that, just these little tiny dead zones.
Yeah. It's like through the tenderloin. That Patton Oswalt bit. Come to life. How are you liking the new Geometry Wars after having some more time with it? I don't know. I don't know how much more of it I intend to play. Like, I think it's, like, well put together, but I don't know.
It's just not hidden.
Yeah, it's not. And it was frustrating, like, you know, I think it was Lang was out there going, like, I need some more leaderboard competition for Geometry Wars. What are your Xbox tag? I'm like, I haven't played on a PS4, so...
Yeah.
Like, the multi-platform nature of it almost hurts it in a weird way.
Yeah, I guess there's no real good solution for, like, creating sort of, like, cross-branded leaderboards.
I mean, you know, there's, like, stuff they could do, like, tie the game to your Facebook profile, and we could look at your Facebook friends list leaderboard, you know? There's, like, well, there are ways around it.
Yeah.
But are you going to implement that for a $15 downloadable? No, you are not.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
I don't like the level-based nature of that adventure mode. Like, they've got the other modes in there, but, like, those are not different in a cool way. Like, I like the idea of the little super zones, super boost shots and stuff, but those aren't in the classic mode, and you only get those in the adventure mode, it seems like. I don't know, that stuff.
Does it seem like maybe they just kind of over-designed it? Like, it's a game that just got
I think it's, they had to sit down and go, like, all right, we need to make another Geometry Wars. What can we do here? You know, what can we do to expand on this concept and make it bigger? And I think that they, like, set with those confines, those limitations, like, they did it. But it's not necessarily, like... something I need to see expanded upon in the way that they expanded upon it.
That's a shame.
I want to like it. You know, I've loaded it up a few different times and, like, had fun, but I, you know, it's like I got to the first boss fight and really didn't like that very much. Got to the second boss fight and liked that even less. So it was just like, you know. Like, milking the boss fights for as long as you can to get the necessary score out of it is, like, a weird, like, push-pull thing that I'm not too into. It's just, yeah. Why can't video games be exactly what I want every time I want it? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, they are. It's called Smash TV. Done.
Oh, you mean the only video
game? The only video game. Xenotic. I actually just re-downloaded Xenotic. The auto build I had, I guess they changed the auto build script or something, so that no longer worked. So I had to re-download Xenotic and then started it auto building, but then didn't actually play it.
I don't know what Xenotic is.
It's a first person shooter. It's one of those like, hey, we took this open source Quake engine that it put out and ported it and updated it and made a cool first-person shooter for free.
Yeah.
It was originally Nexius, which then Rafael Sadiq got the rights to and put out on XBLA as like a totally different game that has barely anything to do with what Nexius was as an open-source game.
Rafael Sadiq?
Ilphonic.
The Rafael Sadiq?
Ilphonic, game development studio funded by Rafael Sadiq. Originally working on the game Ghetto Golf.
This is all coming as a great surprise to me.
And their logo was on a recent game, and why can't I remember what that game was? It was weird that their logo was on. I was like, what? What, really? What the fuck? What? Damn it. Sonic Boom. Yes, Sonic Boom on the Wii U. Had the Ilphonic logo. Like, okay, yep.
I wonder what
they
did.
Thank you, Flash X454.
I imagine you probably would have had to make it through to the credits to find out what it was that they did on that game.
Rafael Sadiq drew the Sonic model himself.
He's now the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. But yeah, the Nexius thing was super weird because, like, they bought the rights to this open-source game that, like, had a lot of community contributions and stuff, and the people that controlled the name Nexius decided to sell out and sold it to Ilphonic or whoever it was. And then Ilphonic put out this game on XBLA that, like, just, it seemed so far away from what that game was. It's like, why did you do this?
Huh.
Like, it's not like Nexius had built up a name to console players that you were getting something out of. So the community of developers that were working on Nexius forked it and changed the name to Xenotic and kept it as an open source thing and redid some of the stuff. And I don't know.
Yeah, that all just sounds incredibly confusing.
Richard Stallman, I don't know. According to Bob Barker in here, now bronies play it. Well, great.
Yeah, bronies do a lot of things.
Does that mean that Xenotic is really for kids?
You're saying there's like a deep libertarian undercurrent to Xenotic?
Yes. Xenotic's one paid-for thing is an unlockable fedora. 99 cents. Oh, they have My Little Pony skins for this one of these Xenotic servers. It is apparently the biggest U.S. server.
God fucking damn it. God fucking damn it!
Fantastic. That's a great idea.
Someone just tweeted it. Like, fucking, no warning, no nothing, just there.
Just like, here's this?
Here's this.
Well, right.
I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to see that.
Well, you did. Oh, that's right. Ilphonic also is doing the first-person shooter portion of Star Citizen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What a weird... Yeah, yes. That Steve Austin podcast is starting.
Ah. I assume they'll just put that up as an episode of that podcast at some point, right?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I guess so. Like, it's running live, and I would assume that the archive of it would also run on the WWE network.
Sure. Where do they shove the archives of, like, those weird one-off things?
They have a specials section.
Okay.
That this had the icon for in their upcoming schedule, which said specials.
So. The only thing I don't like about the WWE Network that much is that the organization's not great.
Yeah, they're getting there. It's not what it needs to be. You know, cross-device resume stuff is nice to have.
Yes.
We finally added that. Like, at this point, I now have a Roku in the living room, all the consoles in the bedroom, computer, tablet, phone, like, a lot of different ways to start to watch something and turn it off.
So many screens.
I'm done with my second screen experiences. I'm looking for a good third screen experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, I was cleaning up and caught up on some of that Monday Night War show that I hadn't watched. I still got about four of them left. I got up to, like, the Goldberg episode.
Yeah, I've only watched the first couple of those. It's not that I don't like it,
I think they fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's too bad, because, like, the rest of those episodes that I watched are actually interesting. But, you know, like, by the second episode, they're like, and then WCW lost. And you're like, wait a minute, this is a whole show, like, don't... Your whole show is the Monday Night War. Like, you gave away the ending.
Like, they just rushed way too fast to get to the part where they win.
But then it's like the episodes are about specific topics.
Right.
Over the context of the whole thing. So it's like, there's the Goldberg episode and the Cruiserweights episode.
But you still think that they would have waited for that business where they won.
Yeah.
Save that for the
end. Yeah, yeah. I wish that they were selling. They must have sold. I think they probably sold them at one point. That dumb new WCW logo they came up with when they bought it.
Oh, my God.
I think it would be really cool to have that logo on a shirt.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the logo that appears, like, in the games for WCW stuff, I think.
Shit, really?
I think, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's definitely not, like, a regular... They have the very classic logo. They don't have that one that was, like, the second WCW logo. Like, the one they used in the last years before they got bought.
Cop right here.
I see him.
Okay.
They don't have that one, but... They, for a lot of other stuff, they use that other WCW logo that they made.
I don't know, man. Wrestling.
Yeah. Wrestling, like everything else. It was better before.
Yeah. I've accepted that it's just that's my dumb thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, some people like comic books. Some people like D&D.
Yeah.
I fell into the fucking wrestling bucket.
Yep, me too.
And I guess the video game bucket, if we're being honest here with ourselves.
I mean, you can fall into several buckets.
Yeah.
Dork buckets are myriad.
Yeah. And everyone who has fallen into one of them can issue as much scorn as they want at the people that are in the other ones.
Yep. It's encouraged,
bro. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. Some fucking anime dumbass saying, like, you know wrestling's fake, right? Like,
yeah. Like,
it never ends. Everyone that grew up picked on just wants to pick on someone else.
Yep. They just want to feel better about their dork bucket.
I just think about those years when, like, I saw all those fucking movies. Like, being attached to that movie theater and seeing all those movies for free.
Yep. Like, when you were, like, doing deliveries and shit.
Yeah. And even just after that, just, you know, like, the first few years of GameSpot.
Yeah, all those midnight movies in it.
Yeah, just, like, all the fucking time I spent watching, movies at midnight and all that other shit. It was, like, it was a while there that I guess I was pretty into movies.
Yeah.
And now, I don't give a fuck. I don't see anything.
Yeah, I've kind of fallen off in a big way. I've kind of fallen off everything in a big way. Like, I just don't have the drive to dedicate myself to watching a lot of anything.
Yeah.
I guess wrestling is probably the closest I get to any one particular genre or art form, if you will. Hard enough to keep up with games. I feel like there are still several big releases I have not played this year and probably just never will.
Sure, yeah. I think, you know, a lot of people are specializing in games, you know, it's like games have grown so big that, you know, it's not reasonable to keep up with all of them the way that one used to.
Yeah. Well, it's like you see, like, Kotaku doing that embed stuff. Where they have, like, writers, you know, covering games long-term after they come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of smart, you know?
It's an interesting idea. It's just, it is very, staff-intensive, I think.
It is.
It seems like the sort of thing that, like...
But I think for a site like that that is not super dependent on constantly being up... I mean, other than, like, basic news coverage... They're not really worried about, like, up-to-the-minute reviews. They're not writing previews, really. So
right.
It makes more sense to have them working on that stuff. I mean, if you have people writing a certain number of posts a day, it makes more sense to have them working on shit that is kind of ongoing like that.
Yeah, giving them a beat, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense for them. But, yeah, I mean, that's the stuff that, like, we were always fucking terrible at. Back in the day, it was like the review went up, and that was, unless Rory was doing a game guide, it was the final piece of content on a game that GameSpot would run.
Until, like, Game of the Year came around or something.
Right, yeah. So, meanwhile, that was the day that everyone was starting to buy the game and starting to talk about it. So it was like, we said our piece, and then everyone else handed it, you know.
So I handed it over to the forums to deal with coverage beyond that.
Yeah. So it's like...
Game facts.
Like, to be, you know, mercenary about it or whatever, like, a lot of traffic was lost out on by not necessarily talking about the games when people wanted to talk about them.
But that was the thing, was that the business model was built around this notion that the time when people are most interested in games is in the time before they are released, or right around the time they are released.
Yeah, I still think it's true that, you know, it's day of.
Yeah.
That people are looking for a review.
I would say week of, you know, I mean, not
just... Yeah, week of, certainly, but, yeah. I mean, yeah, but it plateaus, like, day of. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, we're at a point now where it's like there's so much post-release stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's glitch videos and, you know, top five awesome epic moments from Skyrim. You know, like all those sorts of just like YouTube-y type shows that appear in the wake of a game's release. That, you know, I think that's kind of changed some of what people are looking for and when they're looking for it. I think it's, like, super crazy. Like, sometimes we get... I don't know if you get these. They might just be sent to the news alias. But I think I get them directly. Like, PR people sending out press releases for a YouTube video.
Oh, yeah. I get those all the time.
What the fuck are you doing?
It's how I know I'm a professional, because I don't just reply to all of those saying, "What is wrong with you?"
Or, "Is this what you had in mind when you got your communications degree?" Trying to get people to write about a YouTube video.
Or didn't, which is why you're sending out press releases about YouTube videos. Ah, whatever, man. 5 years, it's all going to be YouTube. Everything's YouTube.
No. Nope, it is not. YouTube is going to get destroyed. Because the companies will want their cut of the money. That legal battle will happen at some point, and...
What's held it off this long?
Community backlash. Mm. You know, Epic thought about doing it, Nintendo talked about doing it, like, everyone has backed off. Because everyone just goes like, "Fucking, I hate your games!" But eventually... Someone will say, "No, fuck that, we want our money."
Does that apply to Twitch as well?
Yeah. Sure. And, you know, Twitch already kowtows to embargoes and stuff, like, blocks people from streaming.
Yeah.
Like, they are very much on the side of publishers.
Yeah.
You know, as a business. It makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, you see the way game sales seem to be trending, especially, like, on consoles. Surprise me if that desperation started setting in sooner rather than later.
Well, you know, I think there's still plenty of stuff that's doing fine. Like, it's not... I don't think game sales are going to be the big bellwether, but everyone always wants to make more money. That's why they make season passes. That's why they do all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's why they started going down that road. It's why they started issuing copyright violations to people that post their trailers, like people like us that post their trailers when they used to not.
Stop doing that.
Yeah. You know, they're trying to build their own YouTube audiences. They're, you know, they're trying to do all that stuff. So... But that's the thing. It's like, you know, like it's tempting to look at it and go like, "Oh, everything's going to YouTube." But like that's...
I wasn't just talking about video games.
Oh yeah,
I was just saying like in general, you know, like the notion of moving everything over to the internet because, you know, TV's worthless, movie theaters are dying.
Yeah. Yes, I mean everything will go to the internet in one form or another.
Yeah.
But I think it's like YouTube for games coverage. Like there are a lot of holes in that that make it really fucking shaky ground. It's one of those tempting things that you see people's, like, you know, they're big Patreons, they're big YouTube followings and stuff like that, but it's...
Right, it looks incredibly appealing.
It's like a startup with none of the ownership.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a startup, but you're, you know, everything is 100% on someone else's platform. yanked out from under you any moment. It's, yeah. And just, like, the grind, like, I don't envy, like, people that are, like, making all their money on YouTube, because I think, you know, even if it's not about games, like, there's a lot of, you know, beauty vloggers, just, like, all the different stuff that's out there that people have started to build businesses around in some way, shape, or form. Like, the frequency with which you have to issue new videos to keep people coming back.
That's the shit I find. That's the shit I find incredibly harrowing. And I think that's what would keep me from ever wanting to do that, is just this idea that, like, you're constantly on the hook for more shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that stuff's... It sounds kind of dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some people. I'm sure some people love it, whatever. Like, you know, like, I'm not... like, saying, like, hey, you know, go live your life, make your money how you want to make your money, but...
Yeah, it works for you, but...
That just doesn't... That all sounds really shaky to me. And it's like, some of the people, like the PewDiePies of the world, will get big enough to where they can kind of call their own shots and do their own thing while this stuff is good. And you know, like, whatever, they'll be fine. Like, I don't think... You know, unless he gets a very, like, trendy drug problem or something like that. Like, I don't think PewDiePie's gonna be in fucking danger.
God, what if he just started doing heroin?
I don't know. What if?
Yeah.
But,
what
you know,
if he's been,
like,
doing heroin all along, and that's
right,
that's just why his shtick is the way it is.
But yeah, like, that's the, you know, it's like the people that go to YouTube like YouTube. They identify with YouTube, you know, and so the people that are entrenched in that platform, like, if YouTube were to suddenly become a hostile place for people trying to make money on YouTube with video game coverage, where do those people go?
Right.
You know, and would the audience follow them? Like, those are the big questions. And
yeah, I mean, it's kind of just the Wild West right now.
Yeah. It's really interesting to watch. Like, you know, it's... You kind of dabble in it here and there or whatever. With our stuff, I don't know. It's nice to not feel reliant on YouTube.
Right. It's nice to have a site that is its own little platform. That does not require some other service to... exist. Though, I guess, you know, in a way, parent company sort of does that, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we serve in the pleasure of Les Moonves, you know,
right.
we are not our own men.
What I'm saying is
means,
that, like, we're not solely built on a platform that we have no direct ties to.
Sure. Apparently liking this Steve Austin interview in this chat.
That's good. Is it at least informative?
Well, it sounds like he said the word TNA at some point. So,
well, I mean, now he can, because they're even less of a threat than they were.
Oh, yeah,
before.
I'm sure. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Not that they were much of one, but
no.
Still.
He did make it sound like the WWE had not put any restrictions on him. That's what he was out there saying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, fucking, yeah, like, it's a carnival show built on lies. Like, how the fuck are you supposed to believe that? Shoot me straight, Steve. Oh, I'm going to find out this week while everyone's here who our fourth for Texas is going to be.
Right, okay.
I have a feeling it may be you.
All right. I'm not saying I don't want to go to Pac South. I'm saying... two PAXes in a year is already kind of a lot of PAXes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So it would be my perhaps my personal preference to not add a third to that mix, but you know the body.
Yeah, I mean, we're budgeted for four.
Okay.
On the list, when I put out the call, I got three.
All right. When is that, January?
End of January.
All right.
I submitted panels, two panels, in fact.
Whoa there, doggy.
Yeah, but I have not
heard. Pull your jets.
Yeah. Think of it, we'll be part of the fun, like, PAX expeditionary force.
We're sending our expedition into Texas.
Yeah. Not since WrestleMania was in Texas and me and Vinny went, has Giant Bomb been to Texas.
The only time I've been to Texas, other than just driving through it, was when I was in South by Southwest a few years ago with Harmonix.
I went for QuakeCon when they were putting out Quake 3 on the Dreamcast. Sega had an event, so went out there for that. Went to Papa Dough, as immortalized in the Sir Mix-a-Lot song, Jump On It. It was really sketchy scene. I think I had a layover there once, but yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, I think there's the only times I've been to Texas. When we went to Houston, we were in this mall that was, our hotel was attached to a mall that had a fucking ice skating rink in it. And it was fucking crazy.
That sounds kind of crazy. I didn't know Texas was known for its ice skating.
Oh, yeah. Just Houston, ice skating capital of the world.
Mm.
I watched part of the 30 for 30 on Tonya Harding.
Oh, yeah, I saw a little bit of that, too.
It's fucking magical.
Yeah.
She is...
She's in kind of a
delusional
way. Mm-hmm.
Person. In a really fascinating way. Like, yeah. Oh, this is just... it's hard to watch. This is just sad.
I want to say there was, like, a really long text feature that someone posted right around the same time that came out.
Mm.
It was, like, a real deep dive into everything that took place there.
she just seemed so bitter still. And like she had invented a whole reality where she was the victim.
Yeah.
And was stuck in that. Was living in that reality.
You know, it's not an easy thing to accept culpability in something that was that visibly fucked up.
Sure. Yeah. I guess so. Talking about all that CM Punk stuff.
Ooh. Any sense in any indication about what they're saying?
That he would take Punk back at the severance papers on his wedding day was a coincidence / accident. Sounds like he may have apologized. That's fascinating. I don't know. I was hoping that this interview would be... Like, you so rarely get a good look at Vince McMahon.
Yeah. You know? The closest you get is, like, that Beyond the Mat kind of stuff, which even that was still very much, like, Vince in on mode.
Right, yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's, like, the little bits and pieces of interviews, like... I mean, he's shown up in that Monday Night War thing a few times.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that is... Or if those are new interviews done for that, or if it's interviews done for other stuff... other DVDs or whatever.
Yeah.
But you so rarely get, like, Vince McMahon reflecting on the business in a very open way. So
yeah.
That's pretty fascinating if they're really getting into that stuff. I want to hear that more than I want to hear what CM Punk had to say. I feel like I already, like, the stuff that CM Punk said already got blasted all over the place.
Right.
It's just like, all right, well, I don't know that I want to go listen to that.
Addressing any of the stuff about, like, the medical staff or anything that he mentioned, because that probably would put him in a real precarious
position.
Yeah,
I'm sure, like, legally there's some stuff that they have to be super careful about.
Yeah. So, like, the best he can do is just sort of apologize for the stuff that directly affected him.
Says no, he totally talks about the medical shit.
Oh, wow. All right.
Well, still, I bet he went into that thing with a lawyer's advice. Like, you can say this, you can apologize for this,
mm-hmm.
but if you apologize for this...
This becomes a problem.
Then it becomes a problem.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Oh, no, no, he's... No, never mind.
Okay.
Who knows? It'd be nice if they patched that up, but...
I don't see it happening for a while.
Sure, yeah. You'll get 50-year-old CM Punk walking out on Raw in years, getting into the Hall of Fame or something.
Performing to go to sleep on Triple H. In the middle of a match.
Who will still be an active performer.
Yes. And then they will have a match at WrestleMania. That is also probably kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Pretty good time tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, there wasn't really any traffic.
Yeah, because we left kind of early. Yeah.
Damn late.
Or left kind of late, rather.
Yeah.
Same thing. wrestlers will ever unionize.
It would take a real concerted effort from, like, the entirety of a roster.
I guess it's got to be pretty hard. I mean, even harder now that TNA is less relevant. You know, if they were to try to unionize and get fired for it, there's really nowhere else for them to go.
Yeah.
Yes, here we go. Shader 1 says, wrestlers unionize under masked union leader. WrestleMania comes, mask comes off. It's Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
It was me, Teamsters. It was me all along. Next one.
Still wearing the same robe. You know, he's just got that in a closet somewhere.
I'd like to think so. They have some YouTube show where they do, like, you know, visit the prop vault.
Yeah, it's like Joey Styles and all that shit, right? Yeah, I saw the one where they went and found the giant SmackDown.
Yeah, that's the one I saw. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, I don't like the way they play it, like up for jokes and edit it for comedy that isn't there, but sure.
Yeah, the only thing that's missing is, like, a bunch of, like, you know, boing sound effects behind it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, well, we'll see you in the morning.
Yeah.
That's a garbage day.
Ha! You got a fire on your thing.
Yeah, I got a microwave oven I need to get rid of.
There you go.
Cool. Yeah, mine does that too. See ya. All right, you guys. Have a good Monday, and I'll see you in the morning.